Welcome to episode 11 of Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we have a special episode for you guys. We're going to be interviewing two competitors from Squid Game, the Challenge Season 2. But before we dive in, I'm joined by my podcast partner, Ashley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am so excited for this interview right now. I've been waiting for it all week.
Me too. I'm excited to chat with it. It's such a good show and such a fun show. But like one of the big things that whenever you're watching it, what you don't get is kind of this behind the scene aspect of things. So you can really talk to the people that actually were there and lived it. So it's kind of excited to do that part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm excited to like hear about everything that went on.
But without further ado, folks, we are going to dive right into the interview portion of the show. We have Matthew, player 98. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. Is this thing on?
It is on. And of course, we got player 402. Kev, how are you doing today, sir?
Ladies and gents, how you doing? Thanks for having me. Matt, I didn't know you had so much money, man. Is that a grand piano in the back room, man?
Listen, just call me Steve. Call me Steve.
We'd all benefit from being called Steven nowadays.
All of us.
I love that. Obviously, you know, it's the easiest thing to talk about right off the rip, right? And I'll let Matthew kind of go first. Talk to me about getting cast. What was the process like? And even leading to, like, what's up with the van situation? I need to know about that as well.
Yeah. So someone told me, I heard someone over talking about Squid Games at work. Didn't know anything about it. I put it on, and I see a fun game for when I was a kid, Red Light, Green Light. And next thing you know, I see rounds going off and people laying on the ground dying. So I'm like, what is this about? So I put it on and I watch it, and I was instantaneously hooked. And then at the bottom, it said apply, and I applied. Didn't hear anything for probably almost a year. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting by a deli, and I get a phone call, and it was a casting producer asking me if I was still interested. And I'm good with talking on the fly, you know, whatever comes to my mind. Kevin can verify that. I'm also a good wingman. And I said to the person, how do you feel? And the person, the casting producer, said, I feel good. And I said, no, how do you feel? And she goes, I don't understand the question. And I said, how do you feel that you're the person responsible for putting the winner through to the next round of casting producers? And she loved the confidence. They put me through to the next person. I banged that out in like 2 minutes. And next thing you know, I'm one of 456 players getting some tickets to London and going to the dorms. I mean, $4.56 million. Who's going to turn it down, you know? Little did I know what I was in store for. But that's pretty much the logistics of it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It sounds like an easy process. I know it probably wasn't, but like that's so cool. And what about you, Kevin?
Yeah, similar to Matt, but some differences. I mean, me and my girl were like diehard fans of the show, the drama and the reality show. I don't watch too much TV, but that was one of the things that like caught my attention. We were locked in, and then after the last episodes, it says if you're interested, you know, apply. And I was like calling out a lot of things in the show. Like my girl knows, and like I'm kind of aware of the fact that I have a kind of knack for like human psychology, and I interact with a lot of different people, so I can figure things out socially. And I have, you know, I play all these games. I was like, you know what? She was very encouraging of it. She's like, you got to do it. So sure enough, after like a year, they give me a call. They love me on the phone. And then we do like, I'm sitting in this chair, the same setup. Remember, Matt, we had to wear something nice.
Yeah.
And they're interviewing us. They're seeing how we like interact with them. And I'm doing it like it's a job interview. Like I'm speaking very proper. I'm trying to hide my New York accent or whatever. She's like, stop. She's like, we heard you on the phone, and this ain't you. She's like, be you. I was like, all right, can I curse? She's like, be you. And the lid came off. I was firing off shots, breaking her chops, whatever. She's like, you're in. You're a guy. You're in. And that was it, you know? And it was a long process, a lot of paperwork, psychological evaluation, blah, 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 blah. Then flight to London, and the rest is history.
Yep.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about, right, the when you walk into the games, first off, I'm sure there's like some anxiety, some excitement, some all of the above, right? You know what I mean? But when you walk in, how quickly from when you walk in to the game started, how fast was that? Because obviously we see the game start really fast for us as the viewer, but kind of more of like a behind the scenes of like walking in the dorm to when the game started type of situation.
Taking that.
Yeah. So, well, just to piggyback on the van scene, did you want to hear about the van scene too?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Please.
So the van scene happened afterwards. After they realize who their main characters are, they call you up after everything is all said and done, and they say, hey, we're going to come in to New York, or can you fly to Los Angeles, and we're going to have a little van scene for you where the van's going to come and pretend like it picks you up. So it's like after they find out who their main characters are is when they do it. I did it, but they didn't throw that in for me, I guess because they really wanted me to be a real main character, and they probably don't want to show you too much of that person. Like on the poster, you didn't really see Perla, but you saw Deja and you saw Steve. So they kind of leave, you know, certain people out. Now to fast forward to what you were just talking about, I got there like a day before at the hotel, and pretty what? Much as soon as you walk into, yeah, I was there a day before. Like I kept bypassing,
so
I kept trying to like, decide whether or not I'm really going to do this. Am I really doing this? So I left. I waited till the last minute. I got there like the day before in the hotels. And it's a good thing I did because it was like being in timeout in like kindergarten. You couldn't talk to anybody in the hotels. You couldn't say nothing. And Kevin could tell you stories. I mean, you just really couldn't say nothing to nobody. Right. So all of a sudden I get there and it's like prison. They're stripping you naked. They're taking everything from you. Let me check your sneakers or all your electronics, everything out the door. So after that, you're all said and done. They're telling you, okay, we're going to pick you up tomorrow. For me, it was the next day. And we're not going to tell you when we're going to come knocking at your door. Just be ready to go. So some people, it started at like 3 o'clock in the morning. By the time it got to me, I think it was like 6 o'clock. I was the last bus that got in the dorm. And I got colitis. So I'm pretty happy about that because when I get nervous, I got to go right to the bathroom. So they come, they pick me up. I go right into the dorms. And before you know it, everybody psychologically thinking they're playing red light, green light. Me and Kevin, we got the high IQs. We know we ain't playing no red light, green light. There ain't no fucking way you guys are sending us in there and we're playing the same exact game. At least that's how I'm thinking. And they're putting the squid packs on you. And you're like, what the hell's going on? And it sounds like everybody's in the dorm already. And before you know it, you enter the dorms and everybody's in there. And you're like, all right, I got the squid pack on and everybody's in here. The games are going to begin pretty soon. And I'll let Kevin take it from there.
First of all, I can't believe that you were only there for a day because I was there for three. So that whole timeout thing was for me times three, which is no talking, locked in your room, no electronics, no anything. We had like three channels on our TV, which was like the news in like another language. And then we had like a sports channel that was in German. So it was just us, our thoughts. Thank God they let me like keep my ganji and my cards. I was playing and I had a book. So we had to sit in there for 3 days. We didn't get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We had to like take pictures, try on our track suits. And when we were moving to those like meals and things that we had to do, we moved with a group of people, a group of like maybe 25, maybe, Matt?
Yeah.
You think?
Yep.
Our cool room was like, yeah, we were all assigned different colors and different wings of the hotel. So mine was blue, and I had about 25 people. So I had seen familiar faces, and we were like sneaking conversations. Like, you moved with 25, but then you'd sit with like eight. And each time I try to sit with like a different eight to like spread like, you know, my web as far as possible. Then when we go in the dorm, naturally they tell you to like try and, you know, if you see somebody, you know, try and make it organic and stuff, but you're going to gravitate towards a familiar face. It's basic human psychology. So you go in there and you try to play the game, but like I locked in with the people that I was with from the beginning, and we were just trying to rack our minds around what was going on. It was pretty quick. I think we sat down at eight, all four. That was the one thing we did together, all 456. We sat on the floor like Indian stuff. Like crisscross applesauce. Like we was in kindergarten for real, eating out of a thing off the floor. And then that's when they hit us with, after we were done, they're like, all right, XO, split it up. And, you know, then that probably lasted, what were we in the room? An hour or two?
Yeah.
An hour or two, and then right into the first game. And then those people, they were gone after like an hour. So they were in the dorm maybe 2 hours after doing all that and got sent home. I felt bad for them, but really, actually, I didn't care. I really didn't care. I was like, thank God we're staying. Like,
speaking of the first game, I would love to know, like, what was your strategy for the first game? Like, were you guys able to pick where, like, did you choose what side you went on to?
Kev, you want to start?
So XO, you're saying, like, how did we pick?
Yes, yes.
So my, everyone has like such a unique story of how they ended up where they ended up. You know, the butterfly effect of like, I talked to this person and that person and how you ended up is crazy. So my cohort in my hotel was blue. The O was blue. The X was red. So my crew, I was telling them immediately, we got to go blue. We're sticking blue. And I was with a girl who was next door to me in my hotel. She was a psychologist. She knew the twins from back home, her hometown. And she said that the one who was leading X, he just seemed a little more confident, a little more astute to what was going on. The other one was a little more reserved and not as mature. So she's like, I'm telling you, if we have to be led by someone, we have to go with him. I said, women's intuition has never failed me. I'm not going to let it happen now. So we immediately, I didn't question it. And then there's so many other people that like were going back and forth, back and forth. I saw somebody had recognized me from the room. They were like, I'm sticking with him. He's the fireman. Let's stick with the fireman. I was like, all right, come on. But then after the fact, they did have to adjust the numbers a little bit. I don't know for what reason. Maybe it was off a little bit, or they wanted male, female thing, or family members. I don't know. But we stopped and they were like, all right, two women go to this side or three guys go to that side and stuff. But that's my story. And everyone has like a very unique way of how they ended up.
So what I'll just give you a couple of mine. I have like a serious sixth sense intuition about certain things. So before I made any decisions on what I was going to do, when I was on the O side and I was conversating with people, I was sitting next to a young woman and another older woman came over and started talking to her. And she laid her head on her shoulder and put her arm around her arm and said, oh, I feel so comfortable talking to you, and purring to her like a cat. And then she walked away. And the woman I was sitting with says, this effort thinks I'm already falling for this shit. So I was like, you know what? There's already too much drama going on this side. Let me get my ass to the other side, right? Go to the other side. Now, if you watch the show, you'll see the back of my head with the twins while they're discussing whether or not they should go up. Okay? I'm telling the twins, something's telling me that if you two go up, both of you are going to make it out all right. And Jacob specifically heard me say that. And later he comes over to me and goes, how did you know that? I said, something told me that if you two went up there. Now, what you didn't hear is they only wanted people that had relationships together. Anybody that was brother and sister, mother and father, husband and wife, they wanted them to come to the front of the room, not just anybody. Okay. So after they went up, I was watching Raul, one of the twins. He was pacing back and forth. And he was looking at his feet and he was nervous. And I was watching Jacob and he looked more confident. I went up to Jacob and I said, are you the older brother? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I'm going to stay with the older brother. So my theory in all fairness was because of the confidence, because of he was the reason why he pulled his brother up to the front. And because when I play tic-tac-toe, I always put an X in the middle. I was going for the X and I'm glad that I did. So that's how it ended up for me.
Yeah, because I sat there. I was like, man, if I would have flown all the way out there just to be eliminated day one, I'd have been so pissed off. I mean, 216 people got eliminated, or 215 got eliminated. That I would have just been so, like, just furious. Because, like, it was all out of your hands, too. You know
what
I mean?
There's a lot that you didn't see because from what I heard, and I'm sure Kevin, the same thing, they were, like, almost fighting on the other side. I mean, they were tackling people because one guy was trying to run up there and fix the count. So, but we wish they would have scored the whole thing, but they didn't.
Yeah, the girl who recommended we go to X for that reason, she nailed it. She was 100% right. Our guy, not that it was also accumulation of like our group. We just got along better. It seemed like we were more reserved. They were a little more rowdy. You could tell, like, before we go in, you know, they take a picture, they do the drone thing, whatever. And bro, Matt, when they did that,
they
killed us. I thought we were done. Yeah. Because we were split up. It's two and change on one side, two and change on the other. Yeah. And we're all just like trying to get pumped up. And every single person on that side was like, And I was like, that is so cool. I picked the wrong side. Like, shit. But they were rowdy. And that ended up being the reason. We were like all kumbaya. We had a little whatever, but Jacob controlled the room.
Yeah.
There was a couple theories, like, a couple strategies, and he did a good job. He really did a good job, I think.
Yeah. And the main thing was, is that after we all picked a side, the X's were off by a couple. And I don't know if anybody told you this, but we needed more. So they said, who wants to go from the O to the X? And the guys from the band got up, three of them, and two of them came over to X, and the other one said, I'll stay in the O. And those two guys that came to the X were the musicians that actually won it for us. And they were counting, and they were, and they played music. They got, they're called Back in the Band, Back in the Black or something like that. Yeah. They're the ones that that pretty much helped us win.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's the type of stuff that I love hearing about, because there's so much layers to it. We see 9 episodes of just condensed everything. You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy to kind of unpack for me. So talk to me about like the environment, like what's the eating and sleeping environment like within this? It's very much a dorm like feeling, I would assume. But, you know, what was all that kind of like?
Yeah. So for me, the first night that we slept there, the morning of, when I opened up the tin and I saw it was porridge, and I've never had porridge in my life, and what it looked like and what it tasted in your mouth, I was like, I'm like, cardboard. To me, it was cardboard. Yeah. And I was just like, I was like, I'm not going to last. There's just no way. I was like, do we get this 3 times a day? I would have to go to the camera and be like, honey, I know you're home sacrificing with the kids, but look at the shit I'm eating, you know, because it was just terrible. Okay. Now, for sleeping arrangements, I would get comfortable in a bed, you know, and next to somebody that's not snoring anymore. And when somebody gets eliminated, they end up moving your mattress to another side or another place. And I'm like, I can't get comfortable. This is terrible.
Would have to change where you moved after every elimination.
It would move your bed over every so often when things happen to condense it or take away the bunk beds. Yeah. What do you got, Kev?
Shit, the porridge thing was crazy. You ever have like the Eucharist, like the body of Christ thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Imagine a bowl of that liquefied, and that's what it tastes like, to me, at least. So every time I took a bite, I was like, body of Christ, please help me, God. That was how I got through that.
So that makes sense as to why people were going crazy about the cake. Like, people were actually food.
Yeah, lunch and dinner, Matt didn't like the food.
I gave him my lunch. My stomach was I gave him my meatballs.
Lunch and dinner, I was like ecstatic to eat. I don't know if it was I was half hungry or not, but I was starving.
Lunch and dinner like?
It was fine. It was like chicken, rice, pasta, meatballs. Like, it was just regular, like a protein and a carb, maybe a veggie, like peas or something like that. Yeah. And it was fine. It was bland-ish. They didn't want to upset anyone's stomach. They want to make us go stir crazy in there to some extent. Just keep us keep us fed to the point where we won't die, but hungry enough to where, we're isolated, no phone, no sunlight, to get the drama going. The sleep situation's terrible. Yeah. We never knew what time it was.
Yeah,
you know,
terrible.
For me, it was not much different than, like, to be honest, like being in at work. Like in a firehouse is
like working all just, hours of the night and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're chilling there 24/7, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen. So we fill our time with conversation, little mini games. Some people want to gossip, some people they want to walk around, exercise, stuff like that. So we fill our gaps however we see fit. Some people couldn't help themselves and be like, I have to talk shit. And those are the people who like get all the screen time because they're engaging that. Me and my boys are like, yo, we're just kicking it. Wait until them doors open, and then we go kick some ass at some kid games. That's what I was thinking.
No, for sure. All right. So my next question is the second game that you guys played, the Pentathlon.
Yeah, the Pentathlon.
Which did you guys play? Because like they didn't show everybody.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, I lucked out. I was seen on that one because it was a big moment for Zoe and her father. And, my goal there was to try to get Zoe back to her father. I felt compelled anyways. Aww. I had to throw the stone, and I'm a little disappointed in Kevin how many times it took him to do his baseball. But I got my stone in the first shot, and Kevin can tell you about his excuses.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? When I told you we were in our room for 3 days and we didn't have anything except me, I had my mini games and some books. So I had the Gandhi, the dice game, right? I had cards. And then I had like a stick of deodorant, like a traditional stick of deodorant. And they had like little bars of soap, like a hotel bar of soap. I was across my hotel room for like probably 6 hours, just pelting this thing, hitting my deodorant with my bar of soap. I'm like, I'm going to like 90% clip. I was hitting it. So when we have our little meeting of what we're going to do, I'm like, I could do all of them. I could do the dice. I could do whatever. And nobody felt confident with the stone. I was like, fine, I'll do the stone. I'll nail it one shot. The reason why they don't show mine is because I was very nervous about this because I didn't want to stand out ever. Just stay in the middle. Don't say anything. Never be in the front. Never be in the end. So when we do pentathlon, they tell everybody in the game room to pick teams of 10. There were two teams with the remainder of 8. So my team only had 8. It just, that's the way that it fell, the people that I was hanging out with. So I thought something different was going to happen to us and we were going to get penalized. We weren't. We just had to, we went 4-on-4 instead of 5-on-5. So my game skipped ball in a cup. So for obviously like filming reasons, it didn't look aesthetically pleasing. Just everyone was 5-on-5 except us. But mine was super dramatic. But I knew we were going to win because their side didn't have the dice player, the Ganji.
It took me
4 tries to hit the stone. I thought, I mean, I was confident because they didn't have a dice player, but still, but I was still, like, oh my God.
A pressure.
I'm like, oh my God. When the camera's on. Yeah. Oh my God.
And then they came up with whoever did the slowest, and Kevin was biting his nails.
Oh my God. Yeah. So funny story about that is when they announced that, I'm like shitting myself. I'm like, oh my God, there's no, like, because to me it felt like it took me an hour to hit it. Obviously there were people who took longer because I was still here, but so my strategy in that was to put doubt in people's mind. To me it made no sense to not eliminate them and send them home. Just logically, we're here to play a game. They actually played a game in which they were in control of and they were the worst at it. There's no reason we should keep them around. The emotional people who had connections and blah, 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 they wanted to save their people, but logically, whatever. So I was going around telling people, like, the only way I could create enough doubt here is by saying, if we don't eliminate them, then the next slowest or they'll go to the top and the fastest will go. That created enough doubt, in my opinion. I mean, maybe if I didn't say anything, they would have sent them home immediately. Hopefully enough people were logical about it. But I was just spreading so much shade and hate in there. I'm like, they got to go. Everybody's got to go. It could be you. Knowing that if it's not them, it's going to be me. So I'm glad it played out that way. But that's my pentathlon story pretty much.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I love about the dynamic here is, A, you know, I've seen a lot of the memes and the stuff about the crying situation. At the end of the day, I'm like, when you're playing for 4.56 million, like this isn't like some of these other reality shows where you're playing for 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. 100,000, all good amounts of money, but like this is a game changer. 4.56 million is like life-changing money. So like you're gonna play the game however you play the game. I'm gonna play it however I need to get the next person out, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's for sure. Yeah, and you know, about the tiers is that it's not so much about the money and how much is on the line, because it's never really real until you're that close of getting it. It's the fact that you don't got no electronics, you're going to bed with strangers, you're missing your family, Kevin had a baby on the way, and psychologically, you start thinking about all these things that you're away from, you know, and is it going to be worth it at the end? And, you know, are you going to make it? Are you going to win it? And plus, you have to rely on other people. Like a game like that, a six-legged race, you got to rely on people. It's not until Kevin, we get to the top, back to the 20, down to the 20 or less, and you start like, okay, it's becoming my game now. You know what I'm saying? Just got to get away from the test, you know? So,
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah, because even when you get to like the next game of like catch, right? When you get the catch, that's not even really in your hands either. You know what I mean? You could throw the ball or have the ball thrown at you however which way. And like you see it on the show. Like there's literally guys that catch it in their hand and just it goes all over the place, right?
But there's still strategy involved in there. There's still strategy involved in there because like you can only control so much, but like me and Matt are strong personalities for sure. Matt came out the gate hot. I was trying to be a little more reserved and pick and choose, but it was working to our advantage. We got as far as we did because we were using our personality, a little bit of our influence and our strong demeanor to convince people to do what we wanted to do. Yeah. So in catch, my group, as soon as they give us the timers to talk about strategy, I say to myself, I have to control what I can control. And what I can do is this conversation and control the strategy to help everyone else, but also optimize my position in this game. So I made sure that I was in a spot where I had someone in front of me good and someone behind me good, because both of them were equally as important. for those people who are just like, oh, I'm just going to pick a spot and just let the chips fall as they may, it ain't going to happen, buddy. There really was a lot of thinking that went into it, that I was a tactician in there. But I was just like, hey, Bubbly, I don't know what the hell's going on. Let's just be friends and whatever. But I'm always thinking. You have control of certain things, not everything.
Did you think about, like, if you wanted to be in front of the line or back of the line?
Yeah, of course.
Was your strategy with that?
Yeah, so I mean, naturally, you want to be in the front of the line, but you don't want to draw attention that you're going, that you really want to be in front of the line, because everybody's going to be like, you know, what's this guy doing? He's looking out for himself. We had a good plan, my team, right? AJ was one of the people that suggested it, is that we have good people in the front, very good people in the middle, and the worst people all the way to the back, and try to run out the bulls so that the people in the back don't get a chance to throw the ball. Somehow that one of our twins, you know, said, you know, my brother won the game for us in the first game. Let him go to the front and I should stick with him. So they get themselves to the front and he already knows the game plan. Once we get the ball, keep it on our court. And all of a sudden he started getting doubt in his mouth and his mind. And when he gets to me, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to throw you the ball. And I'm from New York.
I couldn't believe it.
Someone from New York, you know, because if you want to talk crap on a street, you know, you got to say something back to protect yourself. And, I, you know, in my mind, I'm like, this ain't going to go good at all, you know. So they only showed you a few minutes, but it went on for at least 5 full minutes. And I'm like, dude, don't you understand? We just made a plan. You got to keep the ball here on this side until, you know, and even though he ended up keeping what he promised, the damage was already done. He already said him and his brother had a strategy. And I had to talk him back down to reality to even keep the ball on our side of the court and cut the line off at the worst possible point. But for him, the damage was already done. But that was our strategy, and it really worked for us. We only lost a couple people.
Mark was my line.
Sorry, go ahead.
Mark 100 was in my line, was super dramatic.
It's super dramatic.
And
the fact
and
that we all call him Mark 100 is hilarious.
Yeah, that's kind of fire, honestly. He's so lucky he got that number. And he even says in the show, like, 100%. I'm like, I'm sitting in the back like, don't throw him the ball. Don't throw him the ball. And then she decides to throw him the ball. And I'm like, the universe is not going to allow this kid to drop the ball. He's going to catch it. But like so that was my strategy. I made the whole strategy for my line, and Mark was supposed to be our stop. Yes, the guy Ryan, he's just being kind of a, you know, he was a, went about it the wrong way, and he went, hurt his feelings. But the first thing I said, when I say athletes raise your hand, they show that. That's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. That allowed me to take control of my group. And I said, and oh, here's another thing. Before that, how many days were we there, Matt, before we played catch? You remember?
A couple, like three maybe.
Couple days. We made a sock and a football. I mean, a ball and a football out of socks. So the whole time I'm launching the ball across the dorm, like to the top of the stage, and I'm making all these acrobatic catches. Me and the young guys, I'm like, I can't hide in this game. So everyone knew that I can catch. So I told them, I said, listen, our strategy, who cannot catch the ball, go in the back, can catch the ball, but not strong in the front. I'll stand in the back of the middle to make sure that I do my best to protect you guys. Also have someone behind me who's like, you know, capable, but we have to have a stop somewhere. And I said, we need to have a little bit of self-awareness here. Nobody's trying to be mean, but like, you're going to get judged on the way you look and the way that you talk to the person in the center, because they are ultimately making the decision to, like, you have their fate. You have their fate in your hands. So you got to convince them. If you can't catch it, you'd be like, I can't catch it, and pick someone else, however you choose to say it. So Mark was originally our plan to be our stop. He could catch it. He definitely could, but he wasn't as confident. Yeah. So we're like, Mark, you'll be our stop. So Julie, who throws him the ball, she had an option to throw the ball to someone closer to her immediate right. But something happened. She had a little beef with that person, and she didn't want to play a game with her. She didn't trust her, which was silly because they were both moving or dying together. So she went to Mark. And like I said, I swore the universe was going to allow him to catch that ball. And when he didn't, it was like the saddest thing ever. And I felt really bad for him.
It was definitely slow motion to us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely emotional. But I have to ask you about this isn't my favorite game, but my second favorite game, Mingle.
Oh, boy.
That
TV that... doesn't know justice. Doesn't know justice. You don't even have to ask another question. We can give you everything you want without even asking the question.
Yeah.
It doesn't know justice, you're saying?
Seeing it on TV was nothing like seeing it in real person with the lights dark and the smoke. And there were people that were actually dancing to the music. Like, they weren't even realizing, look, all hell is going to break through. You know, and we just heard a podcast by the last year's winner. Nothing there was scripted. When we decided to cut it off, we had went 5 rounds, and they told us time to eat. Who the hell is eating after 5 rounds? We're done.
That was so awkward. Play no more.
They took us to go eat. They took us to go eat. And to come back and do more rounds, it was just ridiculous.
It was so awkward. I had so much hate in my heart when I was eating that rice. I was disgusted. I was disgusted with everyone around me. I just wanted my boys with me. And I was like, I don't want to make eye contact with another person until I'm back home with my family, because it was so miserable and daunting and psychologically draining, that game. The betrayal, the stress, like, it was brutal, brutal. And then not knowing, I gave up. The last round, I gave up. So, thank God.
What was your strategy? Like, did you go into it, like, with one, like, each of you? Did you have, like, one person that you're like, okay, we're going to stick together?
Not one. And then...
Not one.
So, we figured out.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Marcus knew that the first number was 6. We had a lot of sharp people, a lot of sharp numbers people. And in our group, I felt at least that August 111 and Steve 183 were our numbers guys. So August is he's a savant, and Steve is a poker player. So they were running the odds of all the numbers. And I was like more like the social guy. Like, he'd give me the number and I'd find the people. We figured out that 6, like a denomination of 6, was the strongest number. So if you had 6 combined with another 6, 12 was strong. And then if you had another group of 2 6s and 12, that was the strongest. So the game was designed to make that the strongest. But if you cracked and you fell down to 11 or 5, the game was designed to pick you apart. And that's what started happening to us. After, like, we got betrayed at one point. Me and Matt were always together. We were always together. That's like when we walked in. You know, we were already cool, but like, that's when we locked in.
I was like,
the New York dudes and our alliances, which wasn't that crazy, was like, this is our group and I'm not abandoning you. I said to a girl straight to her, one of the people that kind of betrayed us, I said to her, I said, I've never done anyone dirty in my entire life. I'm not leaving you. It's never going to happen. I'll sacrifice myself. We got the numbers. We're going to figure it out. And towards the end of it, when we knew that we were getting weak because we lost our 12 or our 6, we knew that there was a couple numbers that somebody was going to have to go. And a couple of us were like, you know what? Instead of like betraying each other, we'll just play rock, paper, scissors. If we're one over, rock, paper, scissors, and the loser will self-eliminate. And some of us agreed to do that. So that was our strategy. It worked to an extent. And, you know, our core made it out. So
we were the last ones to crack. And when we did crack, we had 2 players that were getting deceived on the other side, and they were already in a room. And thank God for them, they left that room and they came to us. They had the 2 people that were having the disadvantage, one of them being the twins. And at the last moment, Kevin, you hear him out the room, we need three. And next thing you know, I'm telling you, time was running down, and they just flew into our room.
Buzzer beater.
That's a lucky.
That was crazy. Yeah,
that game's crazy, and just kind of hearing the unpacking of it behind the scenes is crazy. But you brought up the twins, which I thought was the perfect segue, right?
Yeah.
Matt, talk to me about the decision, right, to pick 431 in that moment, right?
Yeah.
It was a brilliant move, obviously, but yeah, I'd love to hear your thought process through the whole thing.
So just to I had to use my voice in the catch game, which I really didn't want to do. And it kind of showed players that, all right, this guy's a strong character. You know, we got to get rid of him. I heard the buzz around the room. You know what I'm saying? My time was coming up sooner than I wanted it to. And I had to do I had to make a couple moves, chess moves, you know. So what you guys don't really know behind the scenes is that the morning I wake up, there's a doll in the middle of the floor, right? That nesting doll. Okay, they didn't really make the rules understandable, right? So what I heard was when you hear the sound, you could start opening away. So first person, Austin, comes and he opens it up and it's a disadvantage. I take the next one and I open it up, not realizing I'm not supposed to yet. And it's 10 coins. And I'm like, oh, shit. 10 coins meant I can go in the vending machine, I can get the snacks, I can share the snacks, and I can build buddies, right? So they come out and they're like, you messed up the rules. You have to keep waiting. You have to wait until we sound it off again. And that person has to pass it along. So they took it and they left the room with it. I still had a feeling that the next one was going to be good, but I already shot my shot. And I was like, I don't want it no more because I had a good intuition about the second one. I was right. I wanted to leave it alone. Fast forward to when I think her name is Shelly. Shelly, her name is?
Shelly. Yeah, Shelly.
Yeah. Shelly comes and she gets it. She wants to give it to August, player 111. The rule was you cannot deny it when someone offers it to you. She offered it to him three times. He even opened it up a little bit and he saw that there was only one left. And he's like, I don't want it. He denied it three times. So she left and she came to me with it. Right now, I'm getting stuck with it. I have a conversation with her and I'm like, you know what? Whatever it is, this is what God wants. I'll take it. I go to the back. I discuss it a little bit. And I'm like, I thought you can't deny it. And they're like, you're right. You want us to do something about it? I'm like, what are you going to do? You want to go switch me for the player out there? They'll burn me alive if I go switch. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. So next thing you know, I get on the phone. And what they tell me is I have to pick somebody for elimination. That's all they tell me. They don't tell me I have to pick someone up for elimination and that I have to go head to head with that person. I give them the person they are dying for me to give them, 4-3-1. The person that was going to betray us, that has a twin brother, okay, and has a strategy and admitted that he has a strategy in place. Because they knew that I was a popular character and they wanted me to be on the show still. And they knew that I had very good chances with only one person, 4-3-1. The woman on the phone tells me, hold on a minute. I'm like, hold on, where the hell is she going? She comes back and says, you're going to have to put yourself up against this 4-3-1 in a vote. I'm like, that wasn't what the rule was. But okay, I guess I got to deal with it, right? But I already knew that was the smartest decision I could make. Not to mention, on the outside of the door, you got Kevin listening in. So he's the one I ran into. He's the one I ran into. And he's the one I needed to run into because that gave me time. I said to Kev, look, you know, do me a favor, round up all the troops. And it gave me a chance to build up the emotions about my family. Now, I wasn't trying to manipulate anybody. That's a voiceover they put in my head. I was really upset about the moment, about what I was being put into. And I let those emotions come outside because I knew if I wanted these players to relate to me, they had to feel a piece of me that they never saw before. And I feel like it helped to my advantage because I didn't tell anybody else in the room who I went up against. Because why am I going to give him that leg up? Where he's going to go around the room and be like, oh, it's me. Can you vote for me? I wanted to keep that silent. So after I was able to give my speech and have other players relate to me, I felt like, all right, I did what I needed to do. I think I'm going to win this battle. And sure enough, it ended up working in my favor. He was the only one, in my opinion, that I could pick. I couldn't even pick 4-3-2. It had to be 4-3-1.
I got a hot take on that. I've been going back and forth with this. We spoke about it, and I spoke to other players about it because in catch, that's when the Twins really kind of screwed themselves, and they rubbed everyone the wrong way. They were coming off as selfish. They were a little – I don't want to say they're immature because they're, like, super nice and they're really good kids. They're men. I don't want to say kids. But they made a mistake in that moment trying to save themselves that kind of revealed their intentions where a lot of people were either withholding it or they were doing a good job at, like, showing people, like, I'm just going to let the chance and God and let the games decide. They had a selfish moment. So everyone, and I tell you, everyone was pissed off. They were, like, walking around campaigning to save themselves. You know, I had a talk with them, and I said, you know, you guys, I think you guys are great. You know, they're very sharp guys. They, like, very entertaining, humble and stuff. But, like, you guys know that you made a little mistake. And they're like, yeah, I know. I feel really bad. I want to apologize to everyone, blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter. In my opinion, that already was held enough weight for the game, like, literally the entire dorm, no matter what. We were going to find a way to get rid of him. Matt, I thought it was smart. It was one of the better decisions he could have made. But I also thought he could have bought himself more time by picking another person, another relationship, because everyone in that dorm wanted the relationships out. So my opinion, they were gone already. They were never going to win the game. Everyone was always gunning for them, always. Nobody was talking about Perla and Jeffrey. Nobody was talking about Kurt and Zoe. So I was like, they got to go. And you're not going to get rid of the father-daughter. Perla had a really good relationship. She was pretty vocal about and emotional. She had more emotional connections. I thought Jeffrey, it would have been a swing for the fences. And honestly, it would have really affected how the show turned out. And I'm just hindsight. But I thought, I think you could have beat Jeffrey, bro. I really do. Yeah, you could have told everybody. But you were also cool with Jeffrey.
Yeah, I was cool with Jeffrey. Like you with Steve, I had a cool relationship with Jeff. He was there for me when I was feeling down. But so you know, when like I said, that intuition, when something's telling you, look, this guy already put himself in a hole, and I'm just gonna help him do what he already did in hindsight. And
It worked. It worked. Obviously, it worked. But we let happen what we said we would not let happen. A person with a relationship in that room won. And we didn't want that was like number one.
Yeah. It's a big advantage.
Huge.
Yeah, no, totally. I get it. And I feel like, you know, things happen for a reason. Matt, I have a question for you. Talk to us about your elimination.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot
I was
say,
so, right? I was so confused.
So from stuff that I got, all right, so from stuff I got in the back end was we shorted them around the mingle, and that's why that test was put there. We went into that dorm with a couple people, two extra. We should not have been in that dorm with single beds on the floor, more than 20 people. So that game to me was just like, look, we gotta eliminate some people here, right? That was probably the last test that I had to worry about, okay? So when I wanted to do the chores, I wanted it to be me, Kevin, Steve, right? Kevin at first wanted to do the chores too, and he backed out. But I already knew that they were coming for me. But the main reason why I wanted to do it is I knew there was going to be some type of special treat, right? And they ended up getting like pancakes or waffles, right? I was already not feeling good. I already had a dream that my luggage was packed. And I was like, yo, my time is almost done here. So I went, I laid down, I relaxed a little bit. And next thing you know, my name's getting called with two players that I've never talked to the whole time there, right? Never talked to them. And we get put in this room. And I hear the rules right away, and I'm a fast thinker. As soon as I hear the rules, I don't need to hear them again. I was going to take my patch off, and I was going to eliminate myself because, you guys didn't want me a monitor, and now I'm going to F you guys. But in my back of my mind, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about I got no reason to let these guys go on. And as I deciding, should I do it or not, another player looks at me and says, hey, man, you got a lot of targets on your back. And I'm like, you know what? You're playing a mind game with me, and now I'm not doing anything. We're playing a game, and whoever loses the game puts their name in there. And then we had another player who says, whatever we do, we got to do it twice. And I'm like, oh, I'm F-U-C-K'd here. I knew I was done because they were not on the same level I was, is thinking as fast. And I'm not saying anything bad about them. It's just my mind, I think really quick. It's like, make that split decision, right? As a first responder, Kevin could tell you, we act and we think about our decisions later because we got to try to help someone. We got to try to save someone. I got to put myself in a burning building. I got to try to put myself in a round coming flying at somebody else because that's who we are as individuals. And I made the ultimate sacrifice to say, you know what? We're going to play the game. And after that, someone's got to put it in. It just wasn't fast enough. But from what I understood from a player on the other side, another player said that they weren't playing in the game, and I was end up playing two people on the other side of the room because they weren't doing rock, paper, scissors. They were just playing against two people, whereas my room, I had three people, and I had to think of a game really fast that can get three of us, one of us out really fast, but one of our players wanted to play it twice. So it was more than a couple seconds like TV, but I ended up paying the price, and I ended up losing.
The way I was cursing at my TV when you got out, like I it was like, what?
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And they were hitting coins, and Kevin could tell you every now and then they'd give you hidden coins, and it could be like immunity from a game or something. I wish they would have gave me a coin and that on the screen after that whole thing happened, they all could look up and be like, and me flipping the coin and be like, yeah, mother effers, I'm not out. But nothing came my way. So
Yeah, because that was one of the things I found out. Player 17 said that going into Circle of Trust, she actually had immunity going into Circle of Trust, which is crazy to even think about because they didn't even show that.
There's a lot of gameplay that they didn't show. Gameplay-wise, the social stuff, fine. But, like, gameplay, the chores, the coins, the conversations. Yeah. So I get it, but that one I thought was huge. How do you not show that one?
Especially going into that final game was that's kind of bonkers to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Kemper, you obviously your elimination slides and ladders. First off, slides and ladders looked cool as shit. You know what I mean? Like it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Talk to me about the game, seeing that setup, that production, and then of course obviously leading to your elimination.
Yeah, I thought I was doomed the second that I put that red vest on because when we step up to do the whole monitor thing, I had a very strong alliance with Steve and Kate. Me and Matt were always good, but they were always going to look out for us three within our thing. So when Kate stepped up to do the whole monitor thing, I stepped also. But then once I saw she was there, she's super likable, I said, she's an extension of me, so I don't have to be up there. Whatever she's rewarded for, I'll reap the reward of it. I wish I would have told her more of what my strategy was as like approaching the game as a whole, because one of my staples was never be first, never be last. And when she picked our team, they were in control of picking us. They wanted to keep the friends together. And she put me first, and I knew we were doomed because I told Steve walking in the room, you hear me say, he's like, let me think. Right after that, I say, okay, if we have to pick, it's going to be this color in the middle, one of these colors, whatever. So she picks us first, thinking that she's helping us. And we get on the board. The board it's epic. You know, it's like to see that something like that at that scale is all of the sets are amazing. Mingle was crazy. Catch, all of them. The dorm was insane. So I was trying to like dissect the slides. Where can they go? Whatever. And I didn't think it was as simple as like this slide goes to this one because it's just in line. It looks like it makes sense. But I'm like, do they want us to think that? So I thought it was reverse psychology. When Perla, I let Steve roll. He's a poker player. I'm like, Steve, you're the luckiest person I've ever met in my life. You're rolling. Come to find out, his luck played a role in my elimination because he picked the right slide and that was the unlucky one. But when Perla goes to pick me, and Perla and Zoe, to, you know, go to the slide, I'm so confident that they're not going to pick us because me and Perla had a really good connection. Me and Zoe were starting to get along. I'm like, we're good. But they told me after the fact, they're like, you played a great game. Whatever, the worst thing you did was be friends with Steve. Steve was starting to rub people the wrong way. They found out he played poker. Somebody found out he had money. I didn't know any of this. The first day I'm there, me and Steve were like this. Still like this, day one. He tells me about the World Series of Poker thing. I'm like, you came in second place. I know the pot's like 20 million. I'm like, how much did you win? He throws up six. I'm like, you're here and you won $6 million. He's like, don't tell anybody. I'm like, Steve, I'll take it to the grave. 2 days later, my friend comes up to me. She's like, did you know Steve won $6 million? I'm like, Coach Steven.
So he was telling everybody.
yeah. So he was hungry. He was hungry and he was tired. He couldn't help but talk, just like everyone else. So he put a target on my back, and they picked him. At least this is what they tell me. It could be all bullshit, but with the intention, they were trying to go for Steve. And I end up saying, he says, I'll go right, you go left. And I said, Steve, you know, I have this thing, my sister, blah, blah, can I go right? And he's like, all right, sure, whatever, go. And, you know, I slide out. It's not a long slide. I was out in like one Mississippi. I was out in the back of the stage. But that was probably the one regret that I have in the show was when Perla picked me, I could have went harder. Because when they tell you to play the game, there's no rules. I mean, there are rules, but they don't tell you what to do. It's like, these are the rules. Do whatever you want with them. So in the beginning, I didn't get a time. I was on the board for like not even 5 minutes. I didn't have time to process like what we can and cannot do. But they wanted to see the arguments, who's going to pick the slide first, how you guys are going to go back and forth to receiving the card. What I should have done was I told Perla the day before about my sister's situation. She was crying. Everyone was so emotional about it. I could have been like, Perla, after what I told you yesterday, and we're both from New York, and we're both Dominican, you're going to choose me? And I could have guilted her. And to this day, I think about it every day. I'm like, I feel like I could have gotten her to –
Honestly, I thought the same thing because I was like the three of you because I'm from Jersey. So I was like the three of you. I was going for the three of y'all. I was like, y'all have to go through. And I really thought that she wasn't going to pick you because you're from New York.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't. All I said was, can we change your mind? And then I think I also said that they don't show them like there's however many people over there. I was like, there's 15, 14 people over there. And you're telling me that every single one of you, both of you have a better relationship with every single one of them over me and Steve. I was trying to really bring to light my relationship with Perla. And me and Zoe were hanging out a lot the last couple of days too. She was terrified of Catch. She was in the back of the line praying that thing didn't get thrown away. I was like, you know what, Zoe, come play. Come throw this sock around with me. This is how you do it, whatever. And like, we started bonding over that. So I thought we were good. I tell Steve 10 times, 100%, they're not picking us. We're good, we're good, we're good. Not knowing that my boy right here is pissing everyone off and put a target on my back. So that was the end of my road, and my luck ran out. And the luck of the Irish carried Steve all the way to the end. And, you know what happens after that.
But for him, it was just not meant to be, right? Because he could have picked one way or the other way. And if it was a godsend, he would have stayed or not. As for me, I got, you know, just like, he's got to go. He's loud. And I had no choice in the matter. But he at least, if it was meant for him, he would have picked the right one.
That was my strategy. Play the social game. Don't do what Matt was doing. Because I know that and our friend Nick Garvey, 86, he says it perfectly. He's like, a passionate New Yorker comes off as an arrogant Midwesterner. They don't like that. To me, I get Matt. Because when they were started talking all this stuff about Matt, and I was involved in the conversation, I'm like, hold up, time out. Why don't we like Matt? They're like, oh, he's loud. And this, I'm like, really? Okay. Well, what about that guy who's strategizing? What about that girl who's hoarding coins?
Wow, I never talked about someone.
Where was Steve from?
Steve's from Michigan.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they I was doing everything to bring to light that Matt didn't have – he wasn't being malicious in any way. He just didn't like his personality. I knew that if I kept that close, that I could navigate the social game. I'd do good in the games. Eventually, when it came to chance, then that would be where my luck would be revealed, and that would be I would go or not. Other than that, I was in control, and I made it that far because I played it that way. And most of my people did. I was with Steve, Kate, Matt. All of us is like top 20 or better.
Eventually, so we're going to have to turn on each other, but we it's down the line where you're in circle of trust. We're trying to get for themselves.
Each of you, I just have a quick question. Who do you think had the best social game? One person.
Best social game. Who would you think? I think Zoe had a good social game. I think she was she came more friendly, nice. Nobody seemed to not like Zoe. So in my opinion, she had conversations with everybody, and I've never heard anybody say Zoe's got to go because Kurt too.
They were still people who were saying, I guess they did have a good enough social game that they weren't targeted because of their relationship. But father daughter is such a difficult thing to attack and break up.
That's right. So they didn't really have
to do much. They just like be social, say, this is my dad. Of course, they're gonna be like, oh my God, you're this young girl with a cool story, and this is your dad. They didn't really have to do anything, or they really didn't have to manipulate anything in their favor. They already manipulated the game in their favor by going in together. Right. Socially, there's a couple, I mean, at that point, bro, I was killing it. It was me, I was killing it. I don't care what nobody says. I was like in line with the right people and putting everything in place.
He had the wrong partner because they were going to fail.
Yeah. But still, me and Steve were going to carry each other. So, yes, in that game, but I wasn't in control of me and Steve being together. It was Kate that put us together. Yeah. And that kind of slipped. But I was cool with everybody. I was very cool with everybody.
The one thing I want to know is this. If the finals, when it came, when Trinity decided to do what he did, if Trinity knew that Steve was a millionaire, would he still have done what he did? I don't know if he would have.
No way. There's no way. That's why it's so emotional, because you realize what he's doing, and everybody, when we're watching the show, now knows Steve's story. everyone's watching this knowing Steve, obviously what he's doing is selfish, amazing, blah, blah, blah. But with Steve's story in the background, I'm like, damn, bro. Like, he really has no idea. And this poor guy, and I met Trinity day one. He told me what he wanted to do with the money. He was super into music and he's super into his faith. And he wanted to start a school a charitable organization school that taught kids how to play Christian music. I'm like, this kid, and it wasn't bullshit. There was plenty of people that I clocked that was talking shit. I stood as far away from Jonty and Eric as possible because I knew it right away. Like, they weren't getting me with that. So, like, Trinity was genuinely just a good person.
He's got a lot of so,
He does. You know?
And yeah, I guess.
In that moment,
Yeah, that to me was, like, just one of the most sweetest things ever, right? You know, I'm not going to – I won't knock that. But also one of the most insane things I think I've ever watched in reality.
Crazy,
TV, right?
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Sometimes getting that close to $4.56 million actually scares somebody, and they're like, "This is going to do more harm than good," and I don't want any of it. So for him, his faith told him to do one thing, and I feel like it's going to pay off in the long run. He's going to have a lot of blessings.
Oh, come on, bro! You were in that room for 3 weeks.
I know.
Come on, and he had such good chances. He had great chances.
Yeah.
That was insane,
especially going so early in the in that competition in the final game. And stuff like that.
But I feel like, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ash.
I was gonna say, like, I feel like even early on in the season, he kept saying, like, this person deserves it more. Like,
I mean, he definitely
he really
had good relationships with people, and where he was like, you know, the money made mean so much, but that's what it is when you believe in our Lord Savior. You know, you always want to give more than you receive, and that's what he was about.
Yeah, and it says in the Bible, when you make decisions like that, it doesn't seem rational to the general populace, but like to you, if you're that deep rooted in your faith, like, and that's the only way it can be rationalized. You did it through faith, because, you know, believing in something that we don't see is not the most rational thing, so we can't really wrap our mind around it. And in that moment, I couldn't. But when I think about his faith and, you know, my background, I could be like, you know what? I get it. But still, you were one day away. They knew he was one day away. You had four people and it was going to be three people in the way. If you waited 3 weeks, come on, Trin, bro. Damn.
Yeah, it's hard to think about. Talk to me about watching the finale. Talking about, you know, red light, green light. Who won? What did you guys think of all of that playing out?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's the one game I really wanted to play. And it looks like they played it at a shorter distance. Guys like me and Kevin probably would have had an advantage. We're always on our feet. You know, it's not about running fast. It's about coming out the gate good. But in the back of your mind, you don't want to be that first man in the, you know, in the front, because they're going to eliminate you. They want something that's going to be close. So, I mean, it came down, unfortunately, because Deja ended up hurting her leg. You know, and get medically disqualified. But when I think about that, if I was in her shoes, I think I'd rather be medically disqualified than to have actually lost out on the money. You know, she could say, look, you know, I hurt myself. You know, for me to actually lose against somebody, I would just be like, oh my God, I got this close and I just lost. You know, but she had no control of it. She popped her Achilles. And that was it. I mean,
yeah, because they were close. Like,
it was going to be like a photo finish. Deja was gaining.
Deja was gaining.
Yeah.
That my interpretation of that game is absolutely insane, because one, first responders stand that attention for long periods of time. So I've also played the game 1,000 times, knowing that I was going to be on a show. Like, right outside my door right now, my girl's listening to me right now. She knows. I was running up and down the hallway. She was saying red light, green light, and I would stand there just like 15, 20 minutes. Then come back out, green light, boom, stand there 15, 20 minutes. So, like, I was so prepared. The cadence of the song, like, you know, you had to come into the show prepared. And guess what? Steven didn't even – first of all, you know Steven didn't apply for the show, right? 183?
Didn't
apply for Squid Game. He applied for a dating show and got denied from that, and they cast him for Squid Game.
That's the truth. He actually wanted to be on, like, Love is Blind.
Correct. Yeah. So all Steve wants is a pretty girl, so put that out for him. Take care of my boy. All right? So he never watched it. He doesn't know really red light, green light, or anything like that. So he tells me, Steve is the best. I mean, we'll be best friends forever. He made me his plus one for the finale event. I was sitting front row. He was giving me the breakdown play-by-play of exactly how it happened. So each stop of red light is like 20 minutes. They stop you, and then they come out, the drones, the guys in the camera, in your face. You know, they do everything. Then they come back. They wait another 5 minutes, and then just out of nowhere, it goes again. The song. So after the second time Steve stops, his leg like started to cramp up, and he's like, dude, I couldn't stand anymore. And I had such a big lead that I knew that the next time I was going to have to stand, I couldn't do it. So I wanted to go on all fours. So online and the general social media, they think that Steven throws the game, or he trips, he falls, or he Netflix told him to lose on purpose. There's no way he got that far to lose on purpose. He wanted to be on all fours because that would be easier for him to withstand the next 20 minutes of being frozen like that. But because he didn't watch the show, he didn't know the cadence of the song, and he went down a little too late, and my boy got, man. He had such a big lead. He was going to kill it. But, you know, it ended up being, you know, Perla's a great winner. She's a great winner. She's a great narrator of her story. Her background is great. She played a good game. We just, like I said, we let a person win who we swore we were not allowed to win, a person with a family member in there. And we should all feel like idiots because it happened. But congrats, Perla.
Hey, this isn't going to be the last you see of us. You may see me and Kevin on Amazing Race.
That was my next question. That was seriously next question. Like, where am I going to see you guys again?
You will see Steven on Singled Out or some type of dating show. We're gonna be like Amazing Race. We're going to do something.
Yes.
Listen, we'll be back on this podcast. Trust me.
You guys have to come back. I want to see you on our screens again, both of you, because your personalities in general, like, we need that. We need that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we'll do our best. I got to talk to the missus and see if she'll let me disappear for another month again. But we'll see, man. I'm looking. We'll see who is interested in having me on and what kind of environment. But I don't want to do anything with Chance anymore. Like, that's so draining.
I mean, everything is Chance, though. But,
you know, true. But, like, something where, like, you know, I'm more in control of my physical abilities and my mental abilities. That's more along the lines of what I do. Like, being tied to someone to my left and my right and hoping that they can build a house of cards is, like, not ideal for me. So we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, I like the idea of Amazing Race. I feel like you guys can control your own destiny.
Yeah.
You guys control your own destiny with that. But yeah.
But Matt's 100% right. This will definitely not be the last you see of us. And we got things in the works. We're always, the mind's always going. The way that we talk, we think 100 times faster. And Matt thinks 1,000 times faster. So all day, he's like, what are we doing? We're doing something. We're definitely doing something.
And did you see that pink suit that he wore for the finale? GQ, if you're listening, check out my man.
Put me on a cover of something. I can do that. Let's start with that. Give me a cover.
I love it. I love it. Well, guys, we appreciate you guys joining us today. Like, seriously, that was such a great episode of just talking to you guys and having you guys on and getting that behind the scenes insight. And then just like the raw, just love you guys to death. You guys have some great personalities, and it would be a shame if we didn't see you guys on another show in the near future.
Please come back.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be in touch for sure. We appreciate your time.
Have a good one.